And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I'm going to open with a question for you. How would you like to double your net worth? Maybe triple your net worth? Maybe increase it tenfold? You know, in fact, prepping for the show today, I took a look at my personal financial statement. I'm not going to give you the numbers there, but I will tell you, we increased our net worth, my wife and I, over tenfold since we have begun investing in residential real estate. And I didn't even start at the beginning with my tracking. This goes back 8 years instead of the full 10 that we've been investing. And we've been helped along over the years by cash flow from residential real estate, our single family houses initially, and eventually the multifamily that we've begun investing in as well. Not to mention not just the cash flow, but really a number of other impacts that we have experienced from real estate investing. And that's what I want to do on today's show. We're going to take a look at a personal financial statement. I want to make sure you understand what that looks like roughly so you can build your own and start tracking that and see if you are able to maybe set some goals around getting to 2 times, 3 times, 10 times your current net worth. And we'll see how each part of a single real estate investment helps you increase that net worth. Because we make money 5 ways on our houses, 6 on apartments. That's all going to hit that personal financial statement in different places, and we'll talk about that. And if you don't recognize me, my name is Andy Webb. I'm filling in for Al for a couple of days because he's out doing something or other, don't know what, enjoying his financial freedom, and I'm happy to support and fill in. If you don't know me, I'm up in Dallas-Fort Worth, and my wife and I, we joined Lifestyles Unlimited a little over 10 years ago now, and began, like I said, going down the path, investing in single family houses, and then eventually rolling into multifamily as passive investors. And that retired me in my late 40s. Thanks to everything we've done, everything we've built, that tenfold increase in wealth and so on. So we're going to get to that personal financial statement. However, I'm going to open with an article. Important news, I think. This came out recently in the past couple of days, and it's an article on mortgage rates. And I want to talk about this because they are going up, and that may, and I put that in caps and air quotes, that may compress your cash flow. And of course, if it does, that can impact that net worth equation. We'll talk about that personal financial statement here in just a moment. But this article, this appeared, I've lost it here, fxempire.com. This was Bob Mason. It's titled, U.S. Mortgage Rates Rise for the 9th Time in 10 Weeks. Well, that's probably not news. You know that we've got inflation. You know that the Federal Reserve is trying to hit the brakes on that inflation. How do they do that? They do that by taking up rates, and you probably heard that the most recent increase of the federal funds rate was 50 basis points, half a percentage point. So they're trying to push that up. They don't directly control mortgage rates, so you know that, but it does flow through. But this article is interesting because it has a couple of signposts, I would say, that maybe will help you understand where we've come from if you look back a little bit farther. And they talk, for example, well, they mention, as the title did, in the week ending May 12th, mortgage rates have risen 9 times in 10 weeks. That's important to understand. And specifically, as real estate investors, if you're following what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited, you're ultimately getting your houses into 30-year fixed-rate mortgages. Well, those 30-year fixed-rate mortgages, the rates rose by, it says, 3 basis points. Well, that's not a whole heck of a lot, but have landed at 5.30%. And if you look back, this is what's interesting, and this is one of those signposts that I want you to understand. This is important. It says that 30-year fixed rates were up by 36 basis points, so a third of a percent, since November 2018. At that time, the peak was 4.94%. I'm giving you some context here to understand that, yes, the rates are up. And 4 years later, we're not that much higher than we were in 2018. You know what I was doing in 2018? The same exact thing I'm doing in 2020, buying houses. Well, now, in this case, I'm investing in apartments as well. I didn't do that until 2020, so that's a little bit of a newer development for me. And it's interesting as well, they talk about the 30-year being up 236 basis points year on year. Now, that one's interesting. That's because we took a massive dip in the rates from 2018. We were down to 2.94%. Now, this is going to be on your personal house. Big, big drop. Here's another signpost for you. And this is a signpost I don't want you to let anchor you in the past. Because if I did a refi on my personal house, actually, back when the rate was that low. And we did a cash out refi. We pulled out funds. We then immediately put those into some apartment investments as passive investors. But the rate I got there was even below that 2.94%. Now, if I just sit around and dream about that 2.94% or whatever I got back then going forward, I'll never do another purchase. I'll never buy any more houses because I'll be locked. I'll be anchored in the past. But again, the news here, the bigger news, the bigger picture for you is that if you go back even farther, well, we're about where we were in 2018. Are we going to go higher? Well, I don't know. They go into some economic data for the week. And in fact, this is important for you to understand as well. Here's another signpost for you. They reference market jitters over the rising risk of a recession. Well, that's what the Fed wants to do. They want to push us into a recession because that'll stop that rampant inflation, which is over 8%. So they're taking up the rates. And what happens, though, is as people get nervous and that market, in their words here, gets jittery, what do? Well, they start to think twice about those quote-unquote riskier assets. And in this case, the stock market is often viewed as a riskier asset. So what do? They start to sell those assets. And where do they park them? In more secure assets like bonds. As they buy bonds, those rates go back down. I talked to my mortgage lender, and they have, in fact, dropped again. So where are we going to wind up? Anybody's guess. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues in moments.
There is a dream killer here somewhere today. You're going to run into somebody that's going to tell you this stuff doesn't work. Like Vinette said, it's a scam. This is probably a multi-level marketing program. Somebody is going to tell you it doesn't work because you're the wrong race, the wrong age, the wrong sex, the wrong sexual preference, the something or other. And this is all set up so rich people can be successful and all you poor people can't. And if you believe that, they've won. But if you don't, you win.
Don't believe the dream killers. Start winning today with a Lifestyles Unlimited free workshop. Get the knowledge you need to replace your income in 2 to 5 years and then find out how to take action. Register for the free online workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Back to your map to financial freedom. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you have any questions for me, send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com. And I'm looking just briefly here at an article with you. This is titled, U.S. Mortgage Rates Rise for the Ninth Time in 10 Weeks. This was on fxempire.com, penned by Bob Mason. And we looked at a couple of data points in the first segment. I want to help you understand that, yeah, rates are up. And if you listen to your nightly news and you get nervous and you get panicky because they're throwing a lot of scary stuff at you, they're not putting it into proper context, in my view. And if I take a longer timeline, for example, here, and longer, 4 years is what I'm talking about in this case, rates aren't much higher than they were in November of 2018. I was buying then. I just closed on a house here in 2022. We're closing on another in a month. Are we still buying? You know it. If I let myself get stuck in the past when I got a 2.94% interest rate or lower, actually, on my own house when I did a cash out refi in 2021, I will not get anywhere. And neither will you. Neither will you if you get hung up on that rate. That's part of the message in giving you this information here on mortgage rates. And when we get to the personal financial statement here in a minute and talk about cash flow and where that's flowing in, yeah, that cash flow could be a little bit diminished if rates continue to go up. But by the same token, if rates continue to go up and you've locked in a rate now at 5.3% and it goes up to, let's say, 7.3%, you're going to be a happy camper. That goes back to real estate as a wonderful inflation hedge. It's that inflation that will continue to push those rates up as the Fed tries to take action. Now, they've said they're not going to go quite as aggressively again. That 50 basis point hike that they just did, they're advertising that's not going to happen again. But hey, they also told us inflation's transitory, didn't they? So I'm not sure what to believe when the Fed talks at this time. I'm going to just keep going down my merry path and continue to buy. Speaking of buying, in this article, they take a look at a couple of entities. They look at Freddie Mac, and they look at the Mortgage Bankers Association, and they look at the rates that these two organizations are publishing. And Freddie Mac, by the way, you probably hear us talk about Fannie Mae quite a lot. Fannie Mae is the type of financing that we try to attain for our residential rental properties, 30-year fixed-rate Fannie Mae financing. That's the cheap money. Well, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they're siblings. And essentially, if you don't know, Fannie Mae, that's the Federal National Mortgage Association. They're insuring the loans that banks are writing. And Fannie Mae insures those loans that are written by the big banks, those really big banks. Well, if you're like me, I'm often working with smaller investors or investment companies that are financing our debt on the back end when we refinance into those long-term loans. And Freddie Mac, which is the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, they just call it Freddie Mac, that's the name, they tend to do the smaller sized bank loans. Not that the loans are smaller, but they work with those smaller banks. That's the difference there. So if you ever hear us say Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, we're essentially just talking about that government-sponsored entity, cheap money. Well, Freddie Mac, as of May 12th, the week ending May 12th, they're the ones that quoted the 30-year fixed rate mortgages at 5.30%. More interestingly, this is according to Freddie Mac, and I put a several exclamation points by this point in the article. They say home buyers are showing resilience, or did show resilience last week, despite the rising mortgage rates, which are driving monthly payments up by around one-third compared with last year. Again, last year the rate was tremendously low, historically low, never been seen before low. But that increase, if you're measuring against 2021, yeah, you will see a drop in cash flow. Now, if you're measuring against 2018, it's nominal. The difference is nominal. They also go on to say that a surge of first-time buyers are supporting buying demand. I want you to remember that, because I hear a lot of chatter out there about a housing bubble, and I hear a lot of chatter about the next housing crash. I don't think we're going to see it. There's so much pent-up demand that even in the face of rising rates like we're seeing right now, where people are stomaching a third larger mortgage payment than they would have just a year ago, they are still buying. Now, the problem is there's not enough inventory out there. I talk to a lot of people that homeowners that are thinking about selling, but they don't know where they'll go. Well, there's nothing in the market for me to buy. If I sell, what do I do? I say, hey, I enjoy my RV. You might think about that. Hey, go maybe rent an apartment for a little bit because the buyers are there. The buyers are there. Last bullet point from Freddie Mac. They say monetary policy and inflation may discourage consumers, focus on consumers in the month ahead, and that could weaken purchase demand and slow home price growth. Notice they didn't say it's going to go negative. Growth is still there. It may slow a little bit, but you know, when you're living in Austin, Texas, where the home price appreciation in 2021 was 30.6%, maybe you want to slow down just a little bit. That is on fire down there. That is on fire. That's Freddie Mac, Mortgage Bankers Association. Now, they're covering a broader bit of FHA-type loans, jumbo loans, but they're seeing similar things. I'm not going to go into the nitty-gritty here. I think the important thing is that they, too, in fact, a bullet point under the Mortgage Bankers Association, they've stated that purchase activity has increased for two consecutive weeks. So there's interest out there. There are buyers out there. People are buying. I'm one of those. I don't know if I number in what they're looking at. Probably not, because I would have been a Freddie Mac in the Freddie Mac pie, I suppose. But the buyers are out there. The rates are up. But again, if you take a historical point of view, they're still pretty darn low. Talk to your granddad or your parents if you're on the younger side. What kind of interest rates were they paying in the 70s or in the 80s on their houses? And you'll understand a little bit better from the context. Now, I want to shift gears here. I feel that's important. It is something I look at. Like I said, we're closing on a house in June, and I can already tell you that the rates are higher than I was anticipating when I contracted on this house. It's new build, and it's taking a little bit of time to get to the finish line, you know, with all the good fun supply chain restrictions and so on. But we'll get there early June. I'll let you know when we get there what my rate was and let you know what that did to my cash flow. It will decrease it a little bit, but that's okay. Why? Cash flow is only one of the ways that we make money on our houses. There are four other ways with my houses, five with apartments, and all of those are going to be hitting that personal financial statement and helping me to build and further increase that net worth. So let's talk about a personal financial statement, what it is, how you put one together. And commonly, when you think personal financial statement, that's your net. It's going to show you your net worth. But there really are two parts to it. And if I think about it from with the accounting side of my brain, it's really a balance sheet and a profit and loss statement. There are two components there. The balance sheet, that's going to be the part of the personal financial statement that shows your assets and your liabilities. And of course, assets minus liabilities, that is your net worth. The other piece of that is the profit and loss statement. Essentially, that's your cash flow. And you're going to want to figure out what are the sources of your cash flow and what are the uses of cash. And as we've worked with lenders, when my wife and I were looking for a small apartment community of our own, and as we've worked with lenders, I've had to fill out any number of their versions of personal financial statements. And it's not just that balance sheet part. They want to see that sources and uses of cash as well. When we come back, we're going to get a little bit more detailed into that personal financial statement. And I want to tell you how to build that. And I want to show you how all of the ways we make money with our houses flow into that balance sheet and that cash flow statement, that P&L. So stick around.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Well, one thing it has meant for us, and we have to compliment you, you've given us our time back. And I say our time because we got married 33 years ago, and we got married in July. Do you know why? Well, that was before I met Lifestyles. I used to work for Ford Motor Company. And with Ford Motor Company, I was in the automotive division. They have shut down during July, the first 2 weeks of July.
So you had to wait for a shutdown to get married?
Yes.
Yes, he actually.
Whoa, that's dedication there.
He made me change our wedding date. It was supposed to be June 15th, and I changed.
Wow, that's amazing.
So if I had been in Lifestyle, I could have gotten married when I wanted to.
And the ring would have been bigger.
Thank you. Ready to get your time back like Vivian and Cornell? Register for the free online workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Listening to Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. Now, here's your host.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb, filling in today for Al Gordon. If you're missing Al's melodious voice, let me direct you to lifestylesunlimited.com. You can go there, click on the radio button, and find the shows archived there. His shows, Mike Harrison, David Ruzicka, and of course, Del Walmsley. Del is the founder of Lifestyles Unlimited. He's been doing the show for a long, long time. That guy is a professional, both in terms of his radio experience and the way he presents. I try to follow Dell closely. And of course, from the real estate side, I really want to follow that guy closely there. So be sure to check that out. And while you're there, you'll see a little yellow button. Again, this is at lifestylesunlimited.com that says Join Free Workshop. If you're not familiar with Lifestyles Unlimited or you want to learn more about how we make our money in real estate, click on that button, Join Free Workshop. It's about an hour and a half. And I was just looking at the schedule. We've got those midday. We've got those in the evening as well. So It's free. You do that from the comfort of your home. It is a live seminar, so somebody's actually there presenting, and you can ask questions and get involved in that sense. So again, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. And what we're doing today is just taking a look now at a personal financial statement. And we looked in the prior segments at an article concerning interest rates, mortgage rates in particular, because it's important to understand, because as those go up naturally, as a real estate investor, I am acutely aware that my cash flow can potentially decline. But I'm not so worried about that, because the beauty of real estate, unlike those mutual funds in your 401k, or maybe you have a trading account with a brokerage where you actively day trade or something like that, you're only making money two ways with those sort of stock investments, potentially dividends if they pay those. Otherwise, you're just waiting for appreciation, whereas with real estate, we've got five ways. And I know this, and I've seen this over a decade. And as one of those declines, because rates go higher and my cash flow goes down, I'm still making money many other ways. That's the beauty of real estate. And I'm going to talk now about how that flows into my and potentially into your personal financial statement. We described a little bit what that personal financial statement, PFS, what that is. And if you want to build this, you're going to start with the balance sheet part of that first. That's the more conventional thing for you to look at. That's what you want to grow. And you're going to have your assets on one side, liabilities on the other. And I've printed out my latest version here. I track this regularly. And right now, I've got cash in checking accounts, cash in savings accounts, MMA, if you're doing a money market fund, any kind of escrows. I escrow my properties, by the way. I like to retain control rather than give that to the mortgage company. I've had enough mortgage companies mess that up over the years. I like to have that on my balance sheet, by the way, as well, because then when I go and talk with lenders, they see a little bit extra cash as the year goes on. Now, granted, January, I pay my taxes. That goes to zero practically, but over time, that helps with my balance sheet. So I've got all the cash holdings separate. Now, if you're working with a lender, if you're thinking about doing the multifamily side of things, I just have upper level numbers here. They're going to want to see accounts. So if you've got five accounts with a particular bank, boy, they want to see it at that level of detail. I don't think you have to go so crazy right now when you're starting out and trying to figure out your net worth, so you can figure out what kind of goals you want to set in order to double and triple, maybe tenfold that net worth. But so I'm just looking at upper level things here. Cash, personal property. Your cars have some value. You know, I mentioned an RV earlier. We've got the RV bunker. We travel around in that. I do the show from that from time to time. That thing's actually increased in value because there's, again, lack of supply and increased demand during the pandemic. It's a little bit mind-boggling, but that's on their personal property. Maybe you're a gun collector. Maybe you've got, I don't know, parachute gear. Oh, yeah, I have that. It's not cheap. It's on there as well, et cetera. Any retirement funds, you want to have that in there. Health savings account, if you have an HSA, real estate. Now, that's a big part of my balance sheet here. Cash right now is about 10%, real estate about 87%. That cash is eventually going to convert into real estate. We're looking at a lot of apartment investments right now. There's a ton coming down the pipeline. So I'm very excited about what I'm seeing from my fellow investors at Lifestyles Unlimited, the lead investors that are putting those apartment investments together. So at some point, that balance of 10 and 87, that's going to shift a little bit as we deploy that cash, which we've recently pulled out of other investments. Liability side, that's going to be your current debt, like credit cards. For me, I've got my RV note. Yeah, we could have paid cash. Yeah, we're eating a little bit of interest, but I wanted to keep that money in my pocket so I could put it into other investments. So we're happily paying that down over time. And of course, any mortgages, any other contingent liabilities, tax and insurance liability. So I mentioned I have an escrow for my taxes and insurance. As that goes up, well, guess what? My liability for those does as well. It essentially balances out. That's the balance sheet side of the personal financial statement. Of course, you want to look at your cash flow as well. That's part of what we're trying to build here. So you can look at your sources of cash, and maybe you have your salary listed there, or wages, whatever you're doing from earned income perspective, any dividends, any interest you're getting. For me, I've got a line that says real estate income. That's where all my cash flow is coming in. That's the biggest line on here, in fact. All the cash flow from our single family houses, as well as our apartment investments. I'm thrilled to death. We got into an out of state investment, our first one across borders, and it was a bit of a mixed play, a hybrid we call that, not an immediate yield play, not something that's cash flowing from day one, but needs to be repositioned a little bit. they already paid a dividend months ahead of schedule. Bam! That's now reflected in my cash flow line. It's gone up a little bit. And then other activities. If you have anything out, side gigs, maybe you're doing Airbnb out of that bag. Whatever you've got as sources of income, you want to reflect that. And then uses of cash, well, those taxes. Your living expenses. That's a big one. Don't forget that. I've got rental expenses. That's the other side of that equation. I've got to reflect that. The mortgage, taxes and insurance on those. Anything else you're paying actively on. And if you're planning on investing, you might want to list that as a potential source of cash so that you get a true picture of your cash flow. So again, those are the two pieces of the personal financial statement, the balance sheet, and then the profit and loss side, right? That's cash in, cash out. Hopefully it's positive, meaning you're profitable in your life. If it's negative, well, you've got some problems. You need to start to work on that. Now, thinking about the personal financial statement and thinking about our houses and the ways we make money, where do each of those flow through into that personal financial statement to really help me build it up? What have I seen over the past 10 years? Well, I've seen a tenfold increase measured against actually 8 years. I wish I had started this when we really began. I didn't listen well to my teachers. I should have listened a little better and built this personal financial statement on day one to have a true record. I could probably go back and recreate that, but measured against 8 years, doing pretty well. So we buy a house. Interest rates are a little bit higher. Our cash flows may be a little bit lower. Doesn't matter. We're cash flow positive. If it doesn't cash flow, don't do the deal. Well, that cash flow is going to flow through into my assets. I mentioned the cash holding accounts, and it's going to flow through into my sources of cash. I meant to mention the real estate income line. And that may be, again, that may be coming from a single family house, or that could be typically apartments pay in quarterly payments, quarterly dividends. So that may be single family houses cash flowing every month to your bottom line, or that could be those quarterly dividends from apartments. And that's going to cause that asset part of my balance sheet that is cash accounts, savings, checking, wherever you park that, it's going to cause that to inflate. Every month you're collecting, if you've got one house, average right now in Texas, $400 a month. You know, when I became a member back 10 years ago in 2012, they had a lot of pictures on the wall here in the Dallas office, and I imagine in San Antonio where Al is based, or in Houston where Dell and David are based. Anyhow, here in Dallas, they had pictures of happy investors and maybe a picture of them standing in front of that house, and that house cash flow. They would put that number there. It's $200, $250. 2012. Fast forward 2022, we're still seeing on average about $400 a house. In fact, I had an email hit my inbox just ahead of the show. Projected cash flow from the Lifestyles Unlimited Realtor, $458 a month. Now imagine you buy 10 houses. Now under your sources of cash, you've got not just $458, but $4,600 a month flowing in. And that asset category on your balance sheets going up and up and up. Hey, stick around. We're going to head into a quick break.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gain and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Free creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you have any questions, send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. And we're taking a look today at the personal financial statement. And if you are wanting to grow your wealth, your net worth, you kind of need to know where you're starting at. And the best way to do that is to sit down with pen and paper or maybe build out a spreadsheet and put together your personal financial statement. And we already discussed that's an accounting of your assets and your liabilities. Assets minus liabilities equals net worth. And you may see, let's just say you're at $100,000 net worth, and your goal is to now increase that tenfold. That's going to get you to $1 million. You can start to put some plans in place, and that's essentially your benchmark now. You've got something that is measurable. If I think about good goals, when you're setting goals, you want to follow the acronym SMART. And among other things, the M in SMART is measurable. You need to be able to measure that goal. And a personal financial statement, growing that wealth, is a very good way to do that. I do this religiously now. Every month as we close our business down for the month or close the accounts, this just flows through in Excel. And I very quickly can see where we're at. Have we gone up or down relative to the prior month? Now, I will tell you, I have not done a big part of my homework yet this year. I'll get to that here in just a second and tell you what I mean, because that's going to really impact the personal financial statement when I finally take the time to sit down and do it. And you'll see this impact as well if you start to invest in residential real estate. Now, we talked about cash flow already. Cash flow is pretty straightforward. You know, we buy the house, we put a renter in there, they're paying the monthly rent to us, and we have some number net of expenses that we keep every month, and that flows into the cash part of that personal financial statement. And I accumulate that over a period of time. I may put some of that aside in reserves for repairs or for taxes and insurance as an escrow. I do that, in fact. And I see that number start to burgeon and get bigger and bigger. Well, at some point I say, all right, it's time to deploy that cash and go find another investment. Then that cash account on that balance sheet declines, but guess what goes up? That real estate account, that market value, the rental part of that equation. And as part of the process, when we go through that, we are buying right. We're following the model here at Lifestyles Unlimited, whereby we're finding distressed assets. And because of the way that we buy, we're able to capture equity with our houses that we invest in, as well as with apartments. In fact, with apartment investing, we have something called forced appreciation that we don't really have on the house side, whereby we're improving the business, we're generating more cash flow, and any business is measured on its cash flow, its net operating income, and that pushes the value up. But if I just stay focused on houses, we're going to have what we call equity capture. And that's that extra bit of equity aside from what I've got in the property. We talk about cash out of pocket typically. And let's say my cash out of pocket is $20,000. That's going to be residing in that house as equity, but there's going to be additional equity that I've captured or created through the very process of buying that distressed asset, fixing it up, and then refinancing into that cheap money that we talked about. Getting a little less cheap every day, but still works. It still works. That's going to create that equity for me. Now, it also works by following this process. It does help us keep our out-of-pocket lower. And that equity capture, by the way, that's going to flow into the personal financial statement under that real estate, under that value, because I'm adding value to that house by improving it, by replacing those broken windows, by putting new fixtures, by fixing the foundation, by adding a roof, all those things that I need to do to make it functional. That's going to flow into that real estate asset account. The debt will appear as well, but the asset minus the debt in this case is going to be bigger because of the process. An additional effect is that our out-of-pocket is going to be lower. Your out-of-pocket will be lower when you follow the Lifestyles model. That means that cash account's not going to decline quite as much when you get into that asset. It's going to go down a lot more if you pay all cash. It's going to go down a lot more if you just make a 20% deposit or down payment on the property. And by the way, on tomorrow's show, we're going to look a little bit closer at the Lifestyles process, the Lifestyles model. And I want to focus on buying in particular, buying with hard money or private money, what it is exactly and why it makes sense to propel your business and help you acquire even more property than you may have done and help you grow your net worth like we're talking about today. So equity capture is going to really help you on the asset equation. It's going to create a bigger spread between assets and liabilities, between that the value of that house and the debt that you now have on that house. Now, of course, I mentioned we're going to put a renter into place. And what are they going to do? Like I said, they're going to pay you rent every month. And a part of that rent is going to go towards PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. The mortgage in particular is what I'm focused on here. And we have something called equity buildup. This is another way that we make money on our real estate. It's a mortgage pay down. The renter is paying the mortgage on our behalf. And every month we get a little bit more equity, a little bit more equity. It may be just $200 a month, $2,400 a year on one house. But if you're following the model and you're not spending quite as much money on that first house, you can quickly get a second house and a third and a fourth. And we'll go into that tomorrow. And before you know it, you're up to 10 houses. And $200 in principal pay down per house, well, that's $2,400 per month. Over the year, you're north of, that's $2,000 per month. Over the year, you're at $24,000 that you now have in net worth gain just by virtue of the fact that you have people in place that are paying the mortgage for you. Equity buildup. So that's going to appear as well. That's actually going to appear on your liability side because that mortgage every month is going to go down. You're going to recalculate. And, oh, look at that. Real estate mortgage is owed. It's lower this month. Lower again. That gap between the asset value and the debt on it. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So that's our equity buildup. We've seen cash flow. We've seen equity capture. We've seen equity buildup. Now, here's the part that I was talking about. I haven't sat down and figured this out for the year yet. Appreciation. I mentioned earlier in the show Austin. Austin's become my sounding board for appreciation because we saw over 30% price growth in 2021 in Austin. That led the pack in Texas, but we've seen significant price growth across the state and in other states as well. And when I finally get around to sitting down and revaluing each house in my portfolio, I guarantee you I'm going to see a massive jump in my net worth. It's a reflection of what we've seen in the price growth here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where I sit. My houses are all across Dallas-Fort Worth. And we've enjoyed significant price growth on the Dallas side of the airport, on the Fort Worth side of the airport. If you're in Houston, you've seen it there. If you're in San Antonio, you've seen it there. And this, of course, is going to flow through thinking about the personal financial statement to that asset side of the equation again. That value is going to go up. It's good. The spread between my asset and my debt is suddenly going to be even larger and probably very large. So my homework is it to sit down and revalue that portfolio. I've done a couple of houses. I need to get my rear in gear and get the rest of those taken care of. And your homework is to sit down if you haven't already and start to work on that personal financial statement. And here's the interesting thing. We talked about cash flow, equity capture, equity buildup, and appreciation. There's actually a bit of interplay between those four parts. Because as that equity gets bigger and bigger on my personal financial statement, gained again through equity capture, that equity buildup and appreciation, I'm going to pull some of that equity out. Then my cash is going to blossom as I pulled that out through a cash out refi or maybe the sale of a property. And that's going to help me get into even more assets. And instead of 10 houses, creating $24,000 in equity buildup every year, maybe I double that to 20. And I'm at $50,000 just in equity buildup, not to mention appreciation, not to mention the added cash flow. And that cash flow gets bigger and bigger. And it's that cash flow that's going to help you retire sooner than later, 5 years or less if you follow the Lifestyles Unlimited roadmap. Again, if you want to learn more about that, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click the Join Free Workshop button, and come out to our free workshop. It's just an hour and a half. So we've been talking about the personal financial statement. I've told you a little bit about where some of those ways that we make money flow into that personal financial statement. Of course, there is also the tax advantages. You know, I might have an account on there for tax liabilities, and I do. And that might be a little bit overstated because if I'm doing it right, and I am, and you should be too, you know that we enjoy several tax advantages as real estate investors, and we have little to no taxes on our cash flow. So really that placeholder should be zero. And going back to that interplay between equity capture, equity buildup, appreciation, and cash flow, as we sell those assets, there are parts of the tax code that allow us to defer the taxes on our capital gains and roll those profits into the next set of properties. So that very doubling of that house portfolio from 10 to 20, it is absolutely possible. And it's possible to do it while enjoying significant tax advantages and deferring that tax altogether. And what do? We continue to build that net worth. So I've been talking essentially about the five ways we make money with our real estate. And, you know, we opened looking at an article that looked at increasing mortgage rates. That may compress your cash flow a bit, but we are enjoying so many other ways in the meantime. That's that appreciation. That's that equity capture, equity buildup, and, of course, the tax advantages. And I bring up that article not to scare you, not to make you think, well, rates are going up. That's what he's telling me. No. The market's in a good place. We'll continue to see growth. We saw that from Freddie Mac. People are still buying, and that's going to continue to drive your values up. As values go up, fewer people can buy. Your renters, they're going to stick around. It's a good real estate investor. It's a good time to work on building that net worth. Starts with your personal financial statement. I thank you for listening today. You've been listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.